Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and thought I'd talk about the price of safety today. And when I say safety, I'm going to concentrate on the gear today. And the reason I'm going to concentrate on the gear is because everything else has so many variables. The thing about tower work is it runs into a lot of money no matter what you do. You know, I work with IT guys, and you know, they spend about $1,000 on a laptop, and then they have to spend a couple $100 on programs. And they're devastated. They're like, it's so much money. And it is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, for what they do. But when you're a tower climber or when you're anything that involves a lot of safety, it's a lot of money. And that's what I wanted to show you today. And I have it in my blog. I broke everything down just trying to show everybody just what it costs to be safe. And my point of this was it's not cheap. I don't think a lot of people understand. Let me tell you why I did this. I talk with Doug Lee quite a bit. And, you know, he says, in order to be safe, you have to have the money to pay for safety. Something like that. I'm not quoting him directly, but generalizing it, that's what he said. And the point is, a lot of guys are out there doing the work. They need to get paid. And if you don't get paid, you obviously you can't afford the equipment or to stay in business or anything else. Because here's what you have to pay for. You have to pay for all the training classes. I bring this up again and again and again. You have to pay for the OSHA classes. You should have your OSHA 10, and you should have proper OSHA training. You have to pay, what I would recommend is paying for all the first aid classes, CPR classes, and then you have your climbing certification. Now, there's a lot more classes you can take. Depends upon what you do. Like if you're going to go in a snowcat or survival gear, or if you're out in the middle of a desert, it's good to have survival classes, trauma classes, anything that can help you help somebody else. And rescue, you know, the one thing I didn't put in the post was that when you rescue somebody, you have to practice that. So a lot of these people, they just do the climbing and then they stop there. There needs to be more than just climbing and or climbing certification and rescue certification. What you have to do is you have to practice it. You have to practice to be better and better at it. When you get used to climbing, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to rescue someone off a tower. Do you know how to use a FISC? If you have a FISC or a Petzl ID or whatever you're going to use to rescue somebody, there's a lot of options. But my point is, if you've only used it once and then threw it in the bag and never used it again, chances are you're not going to be very good with it. I would recommend training minimum once a month, minimum. If you can do it like every other week, that'd be great, or 2 days a month. If you can work something out and do it while you're on the site, just do a little bit of practice. Just make sure you have all your safety stuff, safety gear with you and attached. In other words, when you're going to pull someone off the tower, I would make sure that they have a rope grab on them. That way, if something happens or someone slips, you know, in the practice rescue, you don't hurt somebody. And yes, that has happened in the past where people have gotten seriously injured or died from a rescue training. It does happen. So I just want you guys to realize that. So as far as training, and then there's plenty of companies out there. There's Safety One, RF Comply, Comtrain. There's tons of safety companies. Just, you know, I mean, there's probably one near you. There's more and more popping up. You don't have to travel as far as you used to do. I know Comtrain goes all over the country, but I think pretty soon it's going to get to the point where there's one in every state. At least I hope so, because that way it's part of the expense of training. So, you know, you got to remember, if you own a tower crew, the tower company, the owner of the crews, has to pay for the training. The owner of the crews has to pay for your time to go there. They pay for your time to be there, and they also pay for any per diem you have or anything like that, the hotel. And listen, not all companies pay for everything. I get that. Some just are, I don't know why they don't pay. I worked for some pretty good companies that paid for the travel, the time, and they built that into the price. And when they did future jobs, they built it into the price. I think the company should take care of their employees, and that's my opinion, and I stand by it. I think most reputable companies will pay for your training. They'll pay for your time to train. And if you have to go out of town to train, I think they'll pay your per diem and your hotel and so on, all your expenses. That's the way I feel. That's the way I've been treated. So I think that's the way everyone should be treated. I hear stories about companies that just don't want to pay the climb or anything. They, you know, I won't get into it, but it just ticks me off. Let me just put it that way. Let's be fair. So anyway, you could even go in Wireless Estimator and see who they recommend for training. I think they have a training schedule on his website. I think Craig has that on his website. But anyways, don't want to get into that. The other thing I don't want to get into is insurance. Insurance is a heavy burden on any company, but it's a necessary evil. You have to pay for it, but to not have insurance, you're flirting with the devil, because if you're not insured, you're outright screwed. You can't do a lot of jobs if you don't have a certificate of insurance or if you aren't covered under the umbrella. That's the way a lot of jobs work. You have to have proof of insurance to even get to work. They don't just say, hey, come on board, you know, come on, do the work. You have to have proof of insurance. So again, the tower crew owner has to pay for insurance, and that's the price of doing business. If something bad happens, it becomes a battle. Depends what your policy is, and it's been my experience that insurance companies do everything they can to get out of a policy. I'll give you, it's just interesting. You have all these insurance policies to cover loss of business, like health problems, like accidents, injury. They usually have a cap on them. And if you go to court, you know, the insurance company is supposed to cover you. They may or may not send their own lawyer. A lot of insurance companies will send their own lawyer because they know if you lose a lawsuit, they'll wind up paying a lot more. And you know, I don't know all the details. I'm not a lawyer. I don't study a lot of these cases. I just know what little bit I read, and I don't have any links to back that up. Okay, so maybe I'll get into that in another post. But right now, yeah, let's forget insurance. Insurance is a lot of money. Let's just leave it at that. But you have to have insurance. You're not going to do business without insurance. You're just not. Now, you think we're the only ones that spend money, the tower crew owners and the climbers? No, the governments have to spend money too. They spend money, a lot of money, on safety. Did you hear of OSHA? Who pays for that? You think it's free? Your tax dollars are paying for it. The FCC aids in safety. They have a lot of safety programs, and I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate OSHA. Department of Labor spends a lot of money to make sure that labor workers are safe. Okay, that's why there is a Department of, well, that's why I think there's a Department of Labor, not only to be fair, but to make sure that we're taken care of. OSHA's there to make sure that we're safe, all right? OSHA's part of the Department of Labor. If you didn't know that, I have links in there for you to look at. Now they just started TIRAP, T-I-R-A-P, and I have a link in there, TIRAP.org. And they're going to help us set standards for safety for the techs, for the climbing techs, for the climbers, the tower hands, whatever you are out there. They are going to help us set standards for us to live up to. I'm hoping they start a database so we can see what companies signed up with TIRAP and officially pledged to support it and pledged to follow their standards. So, and I have blogs in there, I have links in there, and everything for that. So, yeah, safety costs the government a lot of money too. Not just in these prevention, which I love prevention. If we could prevent all accidents, especially any deaths or major accidents, that'd be wonderful. You're always going to have stupidity. Bad things just happen sometimes. You know, I don't know what to tell you other than sometimes accidents do happen. Sometimes something breaks that you didn't expect to break or you didn't know would break. Sometimes there's a recall you don't know about and something breaks and you just didn't know any better. So things like that are always going to happen, okay? But at least the government's doing all that they can to help us out now. You know, they're really stepping up to this. It's going to be, what we're going to have to do is get all our ducks in a row, and it's going to have to be like a domino effect. You know, we can't just sit there and point at the government and expect them to do everything. We have to do this as an industry. When I say we, let's start with the front line, the tower climber, the guy at the site, the tower hand, the guy on the ground, the tower tech, the guy doing the work, even the engineers that are out at the site, the mechanical engineers, the structural engineers. We have to do everything we can to make it safer. The tower owners, the people that, the companies that own the tower, American Tower, Crown Castle, and so on, they need to do all that they can to make sure that the tie-off points are on their tower, inspector towers, make sure their towers are safe. The tower climber has to inspect everything. Don't take it for granted that the tower owner did it, and you have to make sure you have the tie-off points and do the inspection. The tower crew owner, the lead, the foreman, the project manager, they have to make sure that the climber has everything they need to be safe and that the schedules are realistic. the customer has a responsibility here too. They can't just push people. This isn't a standard labor job. You can't just start shoving people around, expect them to get done sooner, and threaten not to pay them. And to all you evil turf vendors out there, I make fun of turf vendors all the time. Not all of them are evil. Some of them are quite good. But there are so many general contractors and turf vendors that just don't pay people. They find loopholes to screw them out of things. Like I was just talking to a guy that went out and did all the work, except he couldn't finish. You know why? Because he didn't have the hardware. So I don't know if it's a general contractor or a turf vendor, what'd they do? They sent somebody else out, paid them for a day's labor, and screwed the other guy out of 4 days' labor. Is that right? Of course not. Do you hear about stories like that? All the time. You hear about it all the time. Drives me crazy. You know, what is wrong with people? But some people, they just take great pride in screwing somebody. And I knew a lot of people like that in the business. They seemed to really get off on just making sure they could cheat as many people as they could so they could save a dime. Trust me, there's a lot of people out there like that. But today, I've rambled on long enough about that. I want to talk about your gear, your safety gear, and what it costs to be properly equipped. My good friend Daniel over at GME Supply was nice enough to, I mean, he ran quotes for me like within a day. I asked him for some basic gear. I didn't concentrate in tools or anything extra you might need. Tools are a lot of money. You have four guys all using different sets of tools. It costs a lot of money. Throughout the years, I bought a lot of my own tools. I just did. I liked having my tools. We used a lot of the company tools. Tools get stolen all the time. It's just the price of doing business. Tools break all the time. It's a price of doing business. I wish I could say it wasn't like that. And one thing I hear from a lot of tower crew owners is how much you get ripped off. Tools get stolen all the time. And this is standard in construction in general. Guys borrow things all the time because they work somewhere. They think they have dibs to it. Now, with that said, I worked for a lot of companies that would volunteer stuff. And it was nice when you could go somewhere and use a lot of nice tools, you know, compared to the crappy stuff. I had nice tools at home, but a lot of people don't have nice tools. It costs money. Throughout the years, I invested a lot of money in tools, people. I don't know what you paid for tools, but, you know, I had just thousands of thousands. Tools, test equipment, laptops, things like that. Cables. Cables cost a lot of money. That adds up through the years. And yeah, I bought a lot of my own test equipment. I worked for companies that had test equipment, but I bought some of my own. Of course, now it's all obsolete. I'm an analog boy in a digital world. What can I say? A lot of analog test equipment. With that said, it just seems like test equipment is obsolete very quickly. So I got to give Anritsu and Fluke credit. They stay on the cutting edge, but boy, you buy something and you just feel like it's obsolete a year later. Hopefully you can make your money back within that year, you know, strike while the iron's hot. All right, getting back to it. So the gear, I got a price from GME Supply because I literally just sent them an email and they turned around very quickly. And what I wanted was safety gear, okay? If you go to my post, you'll see all the safety gear is in there. So it's something that cost a lot of money for tower crew owners. Hey, with that said, the employer, unless you're a contractor and you own your own company, which then you are the employer, but the employer has to pay for the equipment. Let me say that again. The employer, the tower crew owner, the company has to pay for your PPE. There are exceptions, okay? I have a link in there with the fact sheet, but there are exceptions like they don't have to pay for standard winter gear, for clothing, for steel-toed boots, if there's standard steel-toed boots. If it's a specialty boot, yeah, then they might have to pay for it. They don't have to pay for hats, parkas, things like that. But they do have to pay for your belt. They have to pay for the lanyards. And there's a company in California, which I'm still working on this. A guy gave me some information that has been deducting money from employees' paychecks to pay for the safety gear. Let me tell you something. That's wrong. And I just happen to know a couple of these people were going to report at OSHA. It's wrong, people. So why do they deduct it from your paycheck? Because that way it looks like the company bought the gear. Meanwhile, they're screwing you out of your money. I think it was the one I saw was about $70 a paycheck. And if you're the company out there deducting it from your employees, hey, get ready. Because, I mean, if OSHA takes the time to investigate it, you're going to be in deep crap. So I think it sucks. You know, here we are trying to get by, and everyone picks on the little guy. It just gets so frustrating. I mean, I was very fortunate. You know, the people I worked for believed in safety and being as the best you could be. Now, with safety comes a price, and that's why I did this blog. When you have to pay a lot of money for safety gear, for training, for insurance, it's very hard to be the lowest bidder. And I'm going to tell you what, I lost a lot of government bids, mostly state government bids, because I wasn't the lowest bidder. The company I worked for, I did a lot of bidding. And we would go out and we still had maintenance on these towers, and we saw the people that climbed them, and they didn't have nearly the gear that we had. Most of them, you know, it was really sad. But the customer didn't care. You know why? Lowest bidder wins. They may have had safety standards in there, but they didn't ask for any proof. None whatsoever. And they used to give us a hard time. Oh, well, you know, you guys want so much money. Well, yeah, look at all the gear we have. Do you want a professional in here or not? And they used to say, we don't care. We want the lowest bidder. I mean, they were blunt about it. So just remember that. I understand money's a big issue. Nobody likes to spend more money than they have to. That is until something bad happens. Then suddenly it's like, oh, well, you know, I guess, you know, maybe we should have hired a different crew. Maybe we should have hired someone that has paid more attention to safety. And everyone passes a buck. That's where it happens, right? Point the finger. Well, they said they were qualified. They. That's all I hear is they. It's their fault. Take a little responsibility here and say, what requirements did you have in a contract? And did you ask for proof? Or was it the lowest bidder just because they were cheap? These are all things that you have to line up. And I will tell you, a lot of the jobs I do now, that's another problem. You know, we ask for proof before people bid on a project. And I'll give you another example. Like, I know up in New York State, I worked on a lot of projects for transportation. They ask for everything up front before you bid on it, normally. The bids I worked on, they wanted everything up front. You included a lot of stuff with your bids. Pain in the butt, but we would try to get it together, and then we would provide the rest upon request. But they made it very clear in the RFP that they wanted to know what safety gear you had, who would be on site, and if you couldn't provide it, make sure you can provide it when you're ready for the bid defense. It's another story. Anyway, let's get back to the gear. So you have safety gear. And, oh, by the way, if you guys have any feedback on this, let me know. Put it in the, I'll have the form in the blog for you guys to fill in and give me some feedback. So, but I wanted to tell you, the way, Dan priced it out was he gave me a couple prices, like for, $679.99. Let's just say $680. He did have a safety kit there. And here's what it included. And I hope, you know, it's all in there. I put it in print. I hope I didn't miss anything, okay? It was hard to get it from the quote to this. That's why I put a couple spreadsheets in there, too. Although they don't come up very nice on the blog. But I tried to get everything in there just to give you an idea of what it was. So, again, for $680, you basically get Eagle Tower Harness. I'm sorry. And you get your adjustable lanyard. You get... Let me get another lanyard too. One's 1 inch by 6 inches. The other one's 1.5 inches by 6 inches. You get your Westfall Pro carabiner. It's 4 7/8 inches by 3 inches. You get your other carabiner, which is 7 inches by 3 3/4 inches. And you also get your wire rope grab, 3/8 inch wire rope grab. And if you guys climb up, you know what that's for. When you have the ladder, that's a cable that you put on for the 3/8 inch. And you also have your large red gear bag, and you have your hard hat, and you have your canvas bolt bag, and it's a basic kit. That's a very basic kit for $680. Now you have more of a pro kit, which I have next from Westfall. Westfall Pro Ascend. Anyways, it's a harness. It's just the way it's worded in the quote. But basically a harness, your Petzl hat, a white hat, your grill on, and adjustable lanyard with handle. Let's see what else. You got a 4.5 inch by 2 3/4 inch steel carabiner. You have two of those. Your 4 7/8 inch by 3 inch steel carabiner, two of those, and your extra tall top closing canvas bolt bag. And let's see, what's the next one? 3/8 inch wire rope grab. And then you have your 1.5 inch by 6 foot lanyard. So... you got your lanyard. Again, it's a basic kit. I guess it has a little more in it for $1,139.99. Let's just say $1,140. I threw those in there to show that you can buy kits and that you can get the stuff in there. And I'll clean that up. I know I sort of sputtered through it here, but Basically, they're both climbing gear kits with beaners and a few lanyards and your rope grab. It's a steel, it's a cable grab is what it is. It's not a rope grab, 3/8 inch cable grab. That's what I would call it. But I also broke down all the pricing in spreadsheet form so that you could see what it's like. Like, in other words, I broke it down for your harness, you know, $410. And then there's an ExoFit harness. I requested the ExoFit because years ago, that's what I wore. I like the ExoFit. I guess now they're not as popular, but at the time, they were the bomb. I thought ExoFit harnesses were good. I liked it. I had it for a long time. You know, I had a lot of different harnesses. So the ExoFit was just one more that I really enjoyed. And then you got your hard hat. Now, climbing hats are a lot different. You know, you can spend a lot of money on them. Here, you know, there's one here for $49.99. There's another one for $115. I always bought the Petzl Vertex. I usually had a red hat or a blue hat. I ain't got a red hat. Red's what I like to wear. But my helmet was a big deal. Got to wear a helmet. Got to have your safety helmet. Couldn't tell you how many times I hit my head just doing stupid things. Going up, looking down, swinging around. It's amazing how just silly you get. And then half-inch Kermantle rope. You can't really see it in there, but it was 300 feet. Oh, it might have been 600 feet. I'm trying to remember what it was there, but it didn't come through very well. But yeah, you have your rope in there, and I had a fall arrest device, $215. Another lanyard, $49.95. And I have my belay in there. And it gives you an idea what the money is, but I got to tell you, it didn't come through too well on the blog. So what I'm going to do, I'll put it in there as a download so you guys can view it as a PDF. That's what I'll have to do, because that way you get an idea of what the price is. It's easier to read. For whatever reason, it didn't show up on the post very good. But anyway, so you can see it's a lot of money. So what I did, you know, I added everything up. I have everything there. Rescue kit, that's in there. That's $744. Your bolt bags, you can't go up without a bolt bag. Another $12.99. Canvas bolt bag, that one's $24.99, depends on the size and what you get, and different canvas buckets. I always had a canvas bucket. I ripped a lot too. They're canvas, but they still snag on things. Your rope grab, a standard rope grab, is about $180. Well, we have two rope grabs here. I don't know why there's two, 3/8 inch. I guess it's a type of rope grab. The other one's $369, but yeah, I know they're not cheap. And so it goes on. The other thing I had in here was some thermal gear, because if you have to buy special thermal gear, then I think your company should pay for it. Some will, some won't. And I also put gloves in here. You know, they can run around $50. The thermal outer layer, $129. You have different workwear, $114, and you have to look all this up. I'll put all the part numbers in there one way or another. I just got to figure out how to put them in, how you can download it. Give you an idea of what you're working with. So it all adds up, like your beaners and everything. You know, they can be $25 to $35. Oh, and for all you guys that think you can buy aluminum beaners and think you get away with that, one day in the field with an aluminum beaner, you'll see how long it lasts. You have to buy the steel beaners. You have to buy high quality beaners. You can't take shortcuts on something like that. That's like, I would see guys that would go out there to climb and they would think they could use an aluminum figure eight to do what a fist can do. And let me tell you something, it doesn't. So you gotta make sure that you have the right equipment. We're talking professional grade equipment here. And when you go through this, you'll see everything in there. And again, I'll put it so you can download it, because obviously it doesn't show up on the blog too well. So what I want you to have is a basics. The other thing I did, there's a second chart in there where I tried to put more of the tools in, like the capstan winch. You know, that's $2,000. Then you got to have a hitch mount, another $300. You have to have the C bracket and the swivel bracket, $115, $300. Your rope lock, another $154. And then you got your I don't know what that is, double braid pulling. I want to say it was rope, but I'm not sure. But you have your double braid rope. I had 600 foot of rope in there. That's $240. I'm sorry. It's $240, 600 foot of rope. It's 3/8 inch rope. Then I had a rope block, 4-inch aluminum rope block. That's $365. 1250-pound block with forged steel hook. That's $140. Then you got your slings. They run about $10 a piece. Some more. There's one for $13.50. Shackles. I use shackles all the time. He has in here a 5/8-inch screw pin anchor shackle. They're about $10 each, and I would buy 8 to 10 of them. That was me. Always had shackles. I used them a lot. There's another tug material handling carabiner. It's another beaner, $32.95. And then your canvas bucket, another $35. And you can look in here, and I'll figure out a way that you can download the actual quotes. Maybe that would work best than me trying to put it back in this post. I'll keep it in the post, but it just doesn't look as good when I publish it. So anyway, I just want to give you guys an idea of what it cost to buy all the equipment. It's not cheap. It's not definitely not free, you know, and it costs somebody money. Now, some of the feedback I get from the tower crew owners, again, are about all the employees that steal from them. And I know it happens, right? You're hiring a lot of people. You trust people. People are working out on their own. Listen, if you're a climber, I know it's tempting, but what good is it going to do you? Because unless you're going to start your own company, which most don't, you know, and if you start your own company, it's a write-off. You have to expect that. You're going to have a lot of expenses. Every tower crew owner knows he's going to lose some stuff, but when you're stealing big stuff, now that's just wrong. You got to be fair to the owner. However, the owner, you as a tower crew owner, I'm talking to you guys now, have to be fair to your employees. If you constantly screw your employee out of money, overtime, per diem, things like that, what do you think they're going to do? I mean, you think they're going to just sit there and take it? So it's a two-way street, people. We have to build trust. We have to work together. To do that, you know, it's one of those things where each of you have to give a little bit and trust a little bit. It's hard when you're in the industry for a while. And the reason I say it like that is because sometimes you just have the feeling that someone's out to screw you all the time, for lack of a better term. You know, you just feel like someone's out to get you all the time. And I know a lot of guys like that. They, on both sides, you know, I knew company owners, not just tower crew owners, but I knew company owners that just didn't want to give anything to their employees. They were so angry. They just thought, you know, it's not their money. It's not, the climber only deserves a paycheck and nothing else. Or in this case, people treat technicians, engineers like that. It's not just the tower climbing industry, people. It's the, it's other industry. You just have, you have people out there that's how they run business. They just don't give a crap about the worker. Some people just don't. So you have to make a decision. Do you want to work for someone like that, or you want to work for someone else? However, I also know a lot of climbers that are so bitter in the industry. They just take all they can get from one company, all that they can get, and they aren't always fair. You know, they aren't always fair to the owner. Some of them take advantage of the work when they're, and it's like I was just reading about someone who got laid off at Bluestream. You know, it sucks, but the business is feast or famine. And in today's world, the way today's businesses are run, now that all the companies are getting bigger and larger, you become just a number, unfortunately. I wish it weren't like that, but it is. They're going to pull you in when they need you, and they're going to let you go when they don't need you. Does it suck? Yeah, really sucks. Is it fair? It doesn't feel fair. But these guys are business owners. They know if they can't afford to pay somebody, it'll drive them into the ground. Now, with that said, I also know people that were wrongfully terminated. They make things up to get rid of them, and that isn't right either. You know, if you're going to run a company, at least have the balls to be fair to somebody and just tell them we don't have the money. It's just one of those things that you got to be fair to all the employees and to yourself. But it's a two-way street, and it is really hard to build trust after you've been screwed a few times. Trust me, I know. I think I'm like a lot of guys. I had some anger management issues for a while. Now, I've been very fortunate. I know a lot of guys that have done a lot for people, and they always seem to wind up on the bottom. It's not fair. It's not right. But that's just the way the ball bounced in that case. So now you know what it costs for these tools. I know I went on and on about fairness and trust and everything else, probably things that you guys are just sick of hearing about. And you're probably sick of me talking about a tie wrap and the government, although I am going to write some more posts on it because there still seems to be some confusion. So what I did, I sent a couple emails off to those guys to try to better understand it. What am I trying to understand? I have some documents that explain what the expectations are, and I want to see what their expectations are going to be laid out for all of the companies and the employees, the climbers. And I'd also like to see if there's going to be a database of companies that are going to participate and have committed to TIE-RAP. You know, Nate has that. You know who's in Nate. You can look on Nate's website and see who's a member of Nate. You have to be a member of Nate? No, but most people are, just because they know it helps with their reputation. So with all that said, I know I went on and on. I was all over the place. It's just one of those things, when you start talking money, it can go anywhere. That's the way it is. You know, it's hard to stay focused on one subject because all the money adds up. So I just want everyone out there to realize safety's not cheap. Safety's not free. And the more climbing companies that get screwed by not getting paid, whether they're small or large, for whatever reason, you're hurting safety. So that's where the customer comes in. When the customer doesn't pay or holds off paying longer than they should, I understand you have contract, net 30, net 60, net 90, net 120. I understand that. I understand you have closeout packages that need completed. And I also understand that you need a project that needs to be completed. But if you screw a company today, you'd better wave a lot of money in front of them in the future. And if they ask for some money up front, don't be surprised. Because I think that's what more and more companies will do. They'll ask for a down payment or a commitment, you know, some type of down payment to get the work going. I was trying to think of a word. I just can't think of it right now. But I just want to let you guys know that it comes at a cost. But if we don't pay now, what's the price going to be if we don't have the right gear? What's the price of a lost life? It's too high to take the chance. So what we have to do is we have to commit up front to make sure that we have a winning team in the end. That's what matters. We have to do everything we can. And when I say this, I mean as an industry. I mean all facets of the industry, the climber, the crew owner, the tower companies, the customer, the end customer, the tower owners, everybody. We have to make a commitment to each other that we will work fairly, we will work hard, and we will work smart, and we'll pay attention to safety. That's what matters. Safety is getting a lot more stringent. You're going to need a lot more classes. You're going to need a lot more training, and it's going to be a requirement. So when the managers out there are thinking about how to set up and structure a program, they're going to look at, I hope, something like TIE-RAP or something of that nature, where they can actually structure the way a climber should come into the business. They should structure the way training should be handled. They should structure the way the pay rate and the per diem should be handled. With that said, the owner of the business has to make sure that the payment terms and the scope of work are structured with the customer so they know they're going to get paid. The customer should know what to expect from each company that works for them with the right safety qualifications. The other problem is going to be if we still have these eight layers of contractors in between the end customer and the people doing the work, that's going to be a problem too. It's a lot of money that's filtered out for no good reason. All right, I rambled long enough. You guys be smart, be safe, pay attention, and give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. All right, take care, everybody.